private property always comes up as an issue of legal moose hunting.
The local moose hunt raises new questions among residents, and Haynes crew season ends earlier than planned. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. Your 2011 permanent fund dividend amount is going to be announced Tuesday morning. Governor Sean Parnell and Revenue Commissioner Brian Butcher will release the amount of this year's PFD on September 20th at 11 a.m. at the Dividend Information Office in Anchorage. KHNS News plans to air the announcement live at 11 a.m. Wednesday at 102.3 on your dial. The annual dividend is paid out to all eligible Alaskans who have lived in the state for the previous calendar year and qualified through an application. Last year's payout was $1,281. It comes from earnings from the state's savings account, which topped $40 billion earlier this year. The permanent fund dividend amount will be posted to the Permanent Fund Dividend Division homepage at pfd.state.ak.us after its release at 11 a.m. Wednesday. Most Alaskans will receive their dividend on October 6th. Tune into KHNS Wednesday at 11 a.m. to be among the first Alaskans to hear how much your share of the oil wealth will be this year. The local 2011 moose hunt continues with eight bulls turned in as of Monday afternoon. A moose shot in a residential area in Haynes over the weekend has residents wondering, is it legal for hunters to hunt on private property?
Private property always comes up as an issue of legal moose hunting.
Fish and Game's Anthony Krupe says he's not the expert, but has gathered this information from the experts in state parks, Haynes Police Department, and Alaska State Wildlife Troopers.
The way that the law reads, it's a criminal trespass in the first degree, and essentially it's a criminal trespass if the person remains or enters unlawfully on land with the intent to commit a crime on the land or in a dwelling. So typically landowners have the burden to post their property as no trespassing to be able to have any trespassing laws enforced.
Although it is the landowner's responsibility to legally post no hunting and no trespassing alerts, the department says the best thing for hunters to do is to get permission from landowners before hunting there. As for other areas in the local Unit 1D,
public lands, large and all, would be open to hunting if hunting is allowed there. So an example of a place that is off limits to hunting would be Chilkat State Park. Once you turn off from Mud Bay Road, the Chilkat State Park is closed to moose hunting. Within the city of limits of Haynes, there's an ordinance that disallows the discharge of a firearm within city limits. So within city limits, you wouldn't be allowed to hunt moose based on the city ordinance. And in looking at the map, that also includes the Lily Lake area, which I know has had some hunting pressure in the past, but by the town site service area, that is included in it. The Chilkoot Road corridor, there's a closure to big game hunting.
Biologist Anthony Krupe is also manning the check-in station at the Haynes Fish and Game Office. He helps determine what makes a moose legal.
So as of Monday afternoon, the moose harvest has been going well. We've got eight bulls in total. Seven of them are legal. That consists of five forks, one with three brow tines and one that was greater than 50 inches.
The illegal moose turned in over the weekend failed to meet the three brow tine requirement. Krupe explains that the meat from a moose deemed sublegal is confiscated and donated to a local charity.
So we have a very defined definition of what makes a point or a tine, and we take a measurement at an inch down, and to be a point, it needs to be taller than it is wide. So at an inch or more down, it needs to be taller than it's wide, and this one was wider than it was tall.
To the great dismay of the hunter, some illegal moose turned in over the years have been close calls, some very close calls.
Yeah, you know, with the antler restrictions that we have in place, you need to take a really close look at the bulls that you're looking to harvest, and if there's any question, your first decision should be just to pass on the bull.
In the local hunt, a male moose is legal if it has a spiked or forked antler, 3 brow tines, or a rack with a 50-inch spread or greater. Several places in the state use the spike fork 350 hunt like this one, like Southeast Wrangell, Petersburg, and Stikine. Most of the Takus and Chilcats are open to any bulls. Gus Davis also uses an antler strategy. The idea, Krupe says, came out of the Kenai area about 20 years ago and attempts to target mostly the aging bulls in a moose population and leave mostly breeders.
Essentially, what it's doing is if you have 100 calves born in a year, 50 of them you would assume would be females, 50 would be males. Of those 50 males, you would have about half that would have a spike or a fork, and the other half would have some other sort of antler configuration. So the half that are legal, suppose all of those were harvested, well, the other half is going to be able to continue on into the next age class and provide for recruitment and breeding opportunities as they get old. So with this design, you end up with some bulls from each age moving on into the next year. And, you know, it seems to have, given our surveys, done really well here just in keeping the herd at a stable level.
The moose hunt opened Thursday and runs through October 7th in the Upper Lynn Canal. It's open to the nearly 200 local permit holders. This year's average harvest so far is right in line with the last 6 years, says Krupe.
Sounds like people are starting to see lots of bulls, some legal, some illegal, and we're just about on par with where we are other years. And usually there's four the first day, two the second day, one the third day, and that's right about where we are with the hunt this year.
The mountain goat hunt also continues in the Northern Lynn Canal. It opened last Thursday and closes later this fall. The latest harvests were 2 billies taken out of the Chilkoot area. Again, Fish and Game's Anthony Krupe.
We have 3 different goat hunting areas in Unit 1D. RGO 23 goes September 15th through November 15th. RGO 24, which covers everything west of the Chilkat River, is open until November 30th, and then RGO 26 is open till the end of the year, and that covers most of the area, Taquin Ridge and Porcupine and the area south of the Taquin.
The local Fish and Game office is at the Y intersection where the Haines Highway comes into Haines. The phone number is 766-2830. The off-season officially begins this Friday night when the last cruise ship departs Skagway. But the season is ending earlier than expected for Haines. The final scheduled cruise ship of the year announced they're canceling their Haines docking this Wednesday due to severe weather. The Staten Dom on Monday was still docked in Seward as it awaited gale-force winds they're blaming for canceling their Glacier Bay Scenic Cruise and Haines stop. The Haines Tourism Office added the ship had weather-related troubles when sailing to Haines previously. They also confirmed the announcement with Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska. Wednesday is also International Peace Day. It'll be an especially quiet day without the company of cruisers around Haines, but there are activities planned for the Haines School and the Mountain Market, sponsored by Haines People for Peace. The cruise ship Century makes its first and last docking of the season in Skagway on Friday. It departs at 8:30 p.m. Then, Skagwegians have Skagway all to themselves. Metlakatla's fishery has been certified as sustainable by the Marine Stewardship Council. That should help the southern southeast community maintain salmon sales overseas. As Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports, it's the first tribal fishery to earn the certification.
Metlakatla is a Tsimshian community on Annette Island, about 15 miles southwest of Ketchikan. It's an Indian reservation, and its tribal government controls fishing within 3,000 feet of its shores. Its fisheries used to be included in the Marine Stewardship Council's certification of Alaska waters, but a few years ago, that changed.
The certifier examines the management of the fishery as part of assessing to the standard.
Carrie Coughlin is the council's regional director.
So when it became clear that the Metlakatla fishery was the only small part of the Alaska salmon fishery that's not managed by ADF&G, then it became clear that they couldn't be covered under the certificate because the management of the Metlakatla fishery had not been assessed.
So community leaders decided to pursue their own certification. Jeff Moran runs Metlakatla's Department of Fish and Wildlife. He says the move was motivated by economics, but that wasn't all.
we had certain markets that we had been selling fish to that came back and said, well, you know, we won't be able to buy your fish unless you are certified. So, I mean, that was one of the primary factors that drove us to seek certification. But then once more we started looking into it, the more it became obvious that it seemed like the right thing to do.
Metlakatla hired Scientific Certification Systems of California to handle the review process. Coughlin of the London-based Stewardship Council says it's lengthy and detailed.
There are 31 different scoring indicators in the MSC standard under three different principles around sustainability of the stock and the impact on the marine ecosystem and the ongoing management of the fisheries.
The council certified Metlakatla's pink coho chum and king salmon fisheries earlier this summer. That will maintain European markets that require proof of sustainability. Moran says that's important to the 50 to 70 gill netters and 10 to 15 seiners working out of Metlakatla.
A very, very significant percentage of the community rely very, very heavily on fisheries. And then on top of that, we also have our own processing plant. An unpacking company which hires many people for processing the product.
Marine Stewardship Council staff traveled to Metlakatla to celebrate certification in late August. But that's not all that has to be done. Coughlin says the review process recommended some changes that will help make the fisheries even more sustainable. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.